Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 41. So we're on the final part of our first series called The First of Her Kind. And for this fourth part, we are discussing the one who doesn't come back small. So we're discussing how growth is beautiful and it's not always welcomed. We're going to be talking about growing old spaces, old friendships, relationships, and old versions of yourself. It's about learning to be okay with taking up space, redefining family and friendship, and choosing connection that doesn't require self-abandonment.
Love that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm in that
era.
Yeah, definitely.
Period.
I think, of course, you know, 30 around the corner, it's definitely a new layer being pulled mm-hmm. back. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling a lot more just self-aware of, like, who I am and what I want. So mm-hmm. it's been very interesting. So I'm excited to talk about this topic.
Yeah. I feel like my brain started to actually be fully developed last year. Like, I don't know. I feel like something just started to click. So.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I was like, there's no way 30 is going to feel much different. But the last few months, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of things differently. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are not getting a response out of me. A lot of things I'm just doing, you know, what's best for me or what mm-hmm. I want, and just being more isolated in my own bubble. So it's been very interesting, but I'm enjoying it. So, yeah.
Love that.
So now when it comes to you reinventing yourself to the best version of who you are, what would you say are some of the qualities that you now look for in people around you?
Oh, I would say the first two that come to mind are self-awareness and accountability for me. As far as the people that are around me consistently, closest to me in my, you know, inner circle. Like, you're not always going to agree with someone on everything. There might be differences of opinion, and even conflict is inevitable in close relationships. But for me, I feel like when it comes to conflict resolution, or being able to coexist with somebody even with a difference of opinion on something, I think a lack of accountability and a lack of self-awareness makes it very difficult to coexist or to have somebody close to you, you know, and have peace without those two things. Because if somebody is doing something that you don't like and you want to, you know, maturely address it with them, if they can't be accountable for their actions, or if they're not self-aware enough to be like, okay, yeah, you know what, sometimes I can be passive aggressive, or you know what, sometimes my tone can be harsh. So what she's saying probably is fair or valid, whatever. Then I don't see how you can resolve conflict in a healthy way.
Yeah.
If somebody, you know, doesn't know themselves, or at the very least can be like open-minded to feedback. And so, yeah, I would say those two things.
I definitely agree with you for sure on the accountability. Mm-hmm. Because I still find myself, even just like a recent situation as of today that was brought to my attention via my cellular device. I just felt like someone was trying to come for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt as though the person wasn't taking accountability for their action. And to the point of the matter was that it was miscommunication on their end. And it's kind of like, for me, I'm at the point now, if you cannot hold yourself accountable, I'm not going to go back and forth with you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm simply just going to be like, enjoy your day. Bye. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going back and forth. And I'm just no longer tolerating people that, you know, don't want to hold themselves accountable and want to kind of throw shade at you about a situation. But I just don't like when people get upset when they don't see things from their point of view, when it's like, you're not explaining the entire situation. You're missing pieces to your conversation. So it's like, mm-hmm. you're giving me half information and expecting me to understand. So it's like, I just don't like when people get upset when, you know, you don't see things the way that they see it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with accountability and that note.
Yeah.
But for two, selfless people, you know, I think that's big mm-hmm. for me now, is just people that understand and people that, you know, because I'm very big on, I'll give you the shirt off my back. And so I just kind of would like that reciprocated in any type of relationship that I have, just because I am very understanding. But sometimes when the shoe's on the other foot and I may need the help, and it's like you can't come through for the one time or do the bare minimum, and then it's like this excuse or reason as to why not. I'm just like, I just don't have time for that at this point in my life anymore. So I would say that is number two. And I'm faced with that currently in my life.
Yeah, I agree with that on the reciprocity piece, right? Because if somebody cannot reciprocate your level of loyalty or effort, especially in friendships or even romantic relationships, that can, honestly, it can be hurtful. It's hard not to like take that personal. It feels like a jab. Yeah. Like when you can go all out for somebody or be there for them at their lowest points. And I feel like a lot of times, sometimes like people can't even reciprocate half of what you've given. That come hurts. On. Yeah.
Literally half. And, you know, I think we've talked about it before. I'm not expecting you to meet me halfway. Like, I'm just a generous person. Just, that's just who I am. So I don't expect someone to meet me halfway or do more than what I'm doing. But, you know, just be a little more considerate. I don't know. The way people want you to be so understanding for them all the time. And it's like, but.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. And the same thing with feedback. I feel like we've talked about this before too, is the people that love to give feedback usually are the ones that cannot take it.
No, literally.
Yeah. So.
How do you protect your healed self from old triggers?
I think that goes back to the previous question. If you put in the work to heal, then you have to have a different type of people around you. You know what I mean? It's like if you're a recovering drug addict, you can't hang out with the same people that you used to be doing drugs with. Or, you know, I mean, that's extreme. But yeah, if you are healing and there were people that used to trigger you, or there's certain aspects about them that, you know, will continue to trigger you by being around them, I feel like you can't be around those people. So I think sometimes it requires a new healed version of you requires reevaluating the people that are around you and in your life.
I totally agree with that, because I think a lot of the triggers come from those around you, right? And when you've worked on yourself and you've done the work that you have had to do, people will kind of try to drag you down to that same place that you maybe used to be in.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, but also just setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I don't know, for me, staying calm, cool, collected, protecting your peace, whatever, requires not getting out of character or not regressing back to things that you have worked and improved on. And so if somebody is doing something repeatedly to trigger you, like setting that boundary, like I cannot proceed in this relationship if you continue to X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Or I don't want to speak to you in a manner that is not my best self. So I would appreciate if you did not speak to me that way. I think it's setting a boundary before you start to reciprocate negative energy.
Because that's right? What's
before
coming
you
next.
Exactly. Like before you snap and regress back to somebody you don't want to be is, setting that boundary, or AKA a polite warning.
Literally.
Don't do that.
Literally. Because I feel like the most drama always starts when you're at work. Like, why y'all be trying to come for me during work hours? Please stop. But it just finally hit me what I was thinking. I'm no longer, I feel like I've always tried to not let things get to me, but I'm learning that I cannot control someone else in a situation. And as much as I try to not let it affect my emotions, it honestly was. And so now I'm really pulling myself away from the situation and just kind of detaching myself emotionally from it, to where it's like, I cannot let this affect me. This is not really, only thing I control is myself, right? And so that's something, honestly, I've learned as of really lately, is just I can only control myself and my own actions. And that has honestly been helping me a lot with dealing with conflict and dealing with other people and their issues and trauma or whatever they have going on. But yeah, I think it's as simple as that. When you realize you can't control anyone else's emotions but yourself, it makes it a lot easier to kind of get through certain situations.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I think relinquishing control is something that I had to work on over time, is like people are going to be who they are. You can't control their actions, but you can control your reaction.
Absolutely.
So.
I know you're big on no new friends, Blake.
Oh, heavens.
But the question for you is, How do you know when it's safe to let new people in?
I don't know. I don't think there's a, like, a marker for that. I think for me, it's more a feeling. Because for me, it's all about how I feel around you. And we talked about this, was it last week, where, like, starting to pay attention to your intuition more and how, what your body is telling you after you've been in somebody's presence. So I think it's more my comfort level. And I think over time, the more time I spend around somebody, the more I'm like, feel free to like be myself. And then I think it just happens naturally. I don't think, you know, I don't feel like I'm getting to know somebody and just like overanalyzing every little thing and being extremely analytical about it. I think more paying attention to, honestly, intuitively, my intuition.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely all about organic connection. I don't think you can force any type of friendship or relationship. I'm just super big on just letting things go with the flow and just a natural chemistry. I know there are some people that kind of press friendships or they really want to be a certain person's friend very bad. Mm-hmm. I just feel like those never end well.
Yeah.
I'm just always big on just organically getting to know someone just because, you know, just like dealing with a man, right? It takes about, I hate to say it, 60 to 90 days now to see a man for who he truly is.
Minimum 90. Minimum 90.
Yes. So, you know, I find the same thing to be with maybe some friendships. Sometimes it takes longer than that, right? But there are times where you can kind of meet a new friend and kind of see what are their intentions with you, right? Because there are some friends and girls that will come into your life wanting to gain something out of you, whether you know it or not. And so for me, if I have someone that's new in my life, you know, those are kind of some of the things that you have to just consider at first, right?
Yeah.
Especially depending on the circumstance of how you met. Maybe you met online or in person or at a bar or in a bathroom at a club. It just, it all depends on what setting.
Yeah.
So I think keeping that in mind. But I mean, I'm open to new friends if it makes sense and if it, like you said, if it feels right within my spirit, because I'm so big on energy. Like, I feel it immediately. I'm like, yeah, no. Like, when I feel closed off, then I'm like, I can't let you in at all.
Yeah. And it's not even a on purpose thing.
Right.
It's just, I think people probably first meeting me probably think I'm like very serious, maybe intimidating, maybe not nice or whatever. Assume I'm not nice, whatever. When I feel like I'm actually very silly. I feel like, you know, once you actually get to know me. But I feel like I don't feel comfortable showing that side until, I feel comfortable around you. It just happens naturally.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I feel like I'm the same way. Like, my personality is really not the same if I don't really know you. Like, I commend people that just have that bubbly, open personality, no matter who they're around or who they know. So I'm the same way because I feel like that's just, it's very private. It's very sacred to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
What's something that you used to tolerate that you won't even entertain now?
I'm trying to think of an answer that's not passive aggression because I feel like I say that once every four business days. I think people just being emotionally immature in general. People that are not in tune with their emotions and cannot express them in a healthy way, their negative emotions. That's something that over time I'm starting to lose more and more patience for. I can't deal with people that lash out when they're upset and they can't communicate what they're feeling in a healthy way. Mm. Yeah, that's something I'm starting to lose tolerance for. One, because it triggers me. And it also, like, I feel like conflict resolution is hard enough on its own. Then when you add, like, being overly reactive or... Yeah, like throwing jabs when you're upset instead of actually just saying what is hurting your feelings. It makes the problem bigger than it than it was to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something I've had a real issue with, over the past couple of years, is people that cannot just maturely express that something bothered them, something hurt them.
Yeah, people really want you to be mind readers. And it's like...
That is the perfect way to say it. I hate when people expect me to read their mind.
Hate it.
Yeah.
It's so annoying because it's like people can get so upset and they're so emotional, but it's like, I literally can't read your mind. So if you don't tell me, then how am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
right? But it all just boils down to communication styles. Everyone's communication style is very different. Mm. But for me, I would say it's really not tolerating people that don't show up for me the way I show up for them. Because I'm the type of friend, like, I will show up regardless. If I have a lot going on or whatever I may be into or whatever is happening, I will show up for you. And a lot of times people just don't do the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm more selfish with that now and not as open with people that just do not reciprocate that energy. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like, I get it. But then it's like, it's happened time after time again.
Yeah.
And it just has me pulling back less and like, I'm not doing that no more. Or I don't even want to do that for that person anymore. I'm not. No.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've had to just kind of pull back from a lot. And I hate that because, you know, like I was saying earlier, I'm just generally a giving person, but people just take advantage of that.
Because what is the benefit of that? I don't know. It feels leechy, for lack of a better word, you know? Yeah. Or like somebody's taking advantage of you, and that's not a good feeling.
No, it's really not. What's one boundary you set that completely changed your peace?
I would say not engaging when people are not communicating in a healthy way. If people want to be passive aggressive and throw jabs, not entertaining it, you know? Mm-hmm. Not giving, because I feel like people do that to get a reaction out of you. So literally not reacting.
Yeah.
And then also when people are being disrespectful when they are upset, mm-hmm. my boundary is no longer engaging in that conversation. The conversation's over at that point. So yeah, I feel like I maybe used to be a, why are you talking to me like that? No, the conversation's just over. Try again when you calm down.
Literally.
So that's me protecting my peace at that point. So,
For me, I would say, and we talk about it sometimes, is just being more selective of who you share your wins with, who you share your happiness with, and who you share just all the good that's going on in your life, right? That has been the game changer for me, because the more people I was sharing with, the more I felt empty afterwards, or I didn't feel as though people were, I don't want to say cheering me on because I don't really need a pat on the back, but you know what I mean? There's nothing worse than when you tell someone something or you share good news mm-hmm. and they have something negative to say back, or they're kind of just like blank face staring back at you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things I'm mastering right now, is I'm the most at peace with just kind of keeping things really more so to myself or to more of a tighter inner circle. I'm not really big on sharing as much anymore unless someone asks me, to be honest with you. And I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's the healthiest place to live. And as time and time again, and you hear it all the time, is that people are preying on your downfall. And as we're getting older, I'm just realizing the world is just so evil. Mm-hmm. And they hate to see anything good happening in your life or to see anything happy. And so for me, I'm very protective of anything that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And for the people that I love and care about. So with that being said, just,
yeah,
more protective of those things.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when that thing is something that's giving you purpose,
right,
and fulfillment, and somebody's not happy for you or excited for you, that's a direct attack on you. Like, mm-hmm. you know, on what you're doing with your life that's meaningful to you. And possibly you making a positive impact on the world. So that's mm-hmm. the most disheartening part of it to me, when people can't celebrate that. I like this question because I actually don't feel like I have an answer myself. Mm-hmm. When do you know it is time to address something with someone versus cutting them off? Right? Like, this podcast is a huge part of both of our lives. So if you feel like somebody does not support you in that, is that an immediate cutoff, or is that something you express to the person? Because that's a red flag, right?
Right.
Or does it depend on your relationship with the person?
Right. I think there's a lot of different factors with that. For me, it's how close are we? Because there are some friendships where, honestly, stuff like this, if you really aren't supporting, you know, something like this as in our podcast, then that's just kind of like an automatic cutoff. And maybe if we're not as close, or maybe, you know, we don't have this really strong bond, then no offense, I don't feel like I need to say much at all. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes in a friendship, you can kind of see the other person, their foot is kind of out too. So it's like, cool. Well, that makes it easier when your foot's kind of out of the friendship as well. You know what I mean? There are certain friendships like that where they're already kind of on the verge of one fallout or one argument. Mm-hmm. So for me, those ones are easier to kind of just like, we don't even have to talk about it. We can just quiet cut it. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in those that are close to me and friendships I really value. I will definitely try to have a conversation about it. But if you're kind of not seeing things through, and I feel like we're going through more arguments, and when I feel like we're talking, it's just like this animosity, then we can just kind of dead it right there. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think it plays a factor in just the type of relationship that it is, for sure, for me. But I also think the honest to God truth is, me being an only child, I came into this world alone. And sorry, I can survive alone. And I hate that about myself sometimes, because that is kind of the toxic trait of an only child, is that we can literally exist in this world by ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that maybe aren't only children are a lot more dependent on having other people around them or needing people. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't need people at all.
Yeah.
I enjoy people, but I don't need them. And so sometimes I think my cutoff game is a little more aggressive than the average individual. So, like, as you're asking me this question, I have some people in my life where I'm like, I think they're going to get the silent chop, the silent chop soon.
Yeah.
And most people want to talk it out, but sometimes I just don't do that. I'm like, for what? Also, that was what I was just going to say. Also, when I think of, is it worth discussing, or just kind of quietly cutting it, what type of individual are they, right? Are they aggressive, combative, anything like that? If I know it's going to cause tension and it's going to be drama, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I will just dead it right there. So I think that's also it, like, knowing who that individual is and how they're going to react to it.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I consider.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel like friendships, relationships, whatever, I feel like I always used to be the type of person that would want closure, like, and a full ending conversation. But I feel like as I've gotten older, I've started to be okay with, I just haven't spoken to them. You know, sometimes I get little, you know, moments where I'm like, you know, hope they're doing well, right, or hate course. that ended that way.
Right.
But then when I replay everything in my head, I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why we don't speak anymore.
Yeah, great question. I definitely would love to hear what our listeners and our followers think about that.
Because for some people, their cutoff game is very strong. Mm-hmm. They don't need to have some, like, mature, you know, closing conversation, right. Closure. But yeah, for other people, they want to feel like they exhausted every option, every conversation, addressed everything before they give up on any sort of friendship, relationship, whatever, cut somebody off. And I can see both sides of that.
Yeah.
Honestly. But I think it heavily depends on what it is. Like, not supporting something that is literally something I work on every single day that means a lot to me, I feel like that's grounds for cutting off. You know, disagreements, yeah, that can depend. Maybe that can be talked about. Apologies can be had.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This, no.
Yeah.
Because to me, what is there to talk about?
Exactly.
If you don't support me in something that I'm literally putting my life into, there's no conversation to be had about that. What is the person going to say?
Literally.
They're going to, to me, actions speak louder than words. So if you're not supporting or doing anything to show support, interest, whatever, then you don't care.
Exactly.
And if you don't care, then what is going to occur in this conversation? You're going to say, oh, yes, you do care. You're lying.
Literally. No, it's so true. And definitely, it's definitely when you start working on your own projects, you really genuinely start to see who is there for you and who genuinely supports you. Mm-hmm. That's why I see why people, entrepreneurs, talk the way they do about their supporters, because my gosh, it is a huge slap in the face when you genuinely see who is there supporting your brand and your business and everything you're building. Mm-hmm. We both witness it now, right? And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. So you definitely start to see people for who they truly are, and it's sad. Yeah. But hey, it's life. But to go back to your point about closure, because we've never really talked about that on this show. Mm-mm. But my question to you is, of course, I feel like closure and ending a relationship, absolutely. We all want closure. But when it comes to friendships, do you believe in closure? Like, have you ever gotten closure in a friendship?
From a friendship ending, I feel like most of them have just fizzled out after something happened. Yeah. I can maybe think of one instance where, like, yes, I actually had one instance where, I mean, I guess technically... This was honestly the stupid. The person basically said they didn't want to be friends with me anymore, but then they were like, but then they asked a follow-up question. They're like, but I just want to know. And it's like, if I don't want to be friends with you anymore, I don't care about your opinion on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very bizarre. Like, it was basically a situation where I was honest about the fact that I felt like they were a little bit too reliant on me. Mm. Like, I'm always there to support as a friend, but like it started to feel like an uncomfortable level. And it was also a friendship where like she was copying everything I did. So I didn't express the copying thing because I didn't even want to, I didn't even want to take it there. But I did say I felt like there were times where she was a little bit too reliant on me. Yeah. So long story short, she said she didn't want to be friends with any friends anymore. But then she said, what did she say? She basically said, you know, I don't think it's in my best interest to be friends with people that like think I'm too much, which I never said. But I did just want to know, you know, how do you think I rely on you too much?
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
So that was interesting.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'd, like we said before, you know, self-reflection is important and it's key. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I honestly have only had friendship closure once, and it was a pretty, like, casual conversation, and I think we both agreed we didn't want to be friends anymore, and we fell out after my birthday weekend, because it's always my birthday, y'all. It is my birthday. It's like, why do y'all want smoke with me on my birthday? It's weird, but anyways... yeah, so she fell out with me over my birthday. Interesting, right? And yeah, so we mutually agreed we no longer wanted to be friends afterwards after she showed her ass my entire birthday weekend and my other friends were like, is she good?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how that goes. And so that's the only time I've ever really gotten friendship closure. But yeah, just to your point, I think it just kind of fizzles out. I don't know. I wonder if it's it should be a thing more. Maybe if you've had a longer relationship, like a friendship, then maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I have one friendship I can think of mine that we were friends for a while. Like, we were sisters. And we fell over something so stupid. But, you know, it would have been nice, I think, to have gotten more friendship closure just because that was a person I saw as my sister. But yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you just don't get that closure.
Yeah.
And you just move on.
Something you just said reminded me, too. Like, when you're... friends, your other friends are like, yo, what's good with her? I feel like that's a tough one because it's like, okay, if the people that are your good friends that know you very well, maybe have known you a long time, are like, what is going on with this person?
Yeah.
That's a sign.
No, definitely. And mine hurt even more because I didn't realize how bad it was until...
Everyone started to tell you?
Yes, but I also saw it on camera. Because you know how it is when it's like...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. It was
not in 4K.
Literally in 4K. Like, it was... Because it was a birthday weekend. So this is multiple dinner tables where obviously the birthday cake is coming out. And everyone's like, happy birthday, Ashlyn. And she's sitting there like this.
Oh. That's a viral moment. Where's the footage?
Girl, I know. I actually have it on my phone somewhere. And I keep it just for like that core memory just to have in the back of my mind. Like... That is scary. Like,
can you send it to me? I'll black out her eyes. So we can.
Let me try to find it because I do have it. I do have it somewhere. I'm gonna find it.
I'll add it to this video so people can see. We'll just slightly blur her face.
Slightly, because I don't care. Yeah. And that hurts the most because it's like, sheesh. Like, seeing it in real time is different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, clear for hands is
crossed. That's crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's not even like a, okay, yeah, hearsay difference of opinion where one friend was like, okay, I don't think she's happy for you. That how you can't ignore proof in 4K.
Yeah. Like, I've never seen someone fold their arms during someone's birthday, you know, birthday chant at a restaurant. Like, that's just different. That's insane. So different. Yeah.
That's insane. That's true hateration.
Yeah. It's very sad. When did you realize that outgrowing people doesn't make you disloyal? Honestly, when I think of just disloyalty, I think of, okay, because I do consider myself a very loyal person. I still have loyalty for a lot of people in my life. So even though I may not be affiliated or friends with a certain person, I don't think that makes me a disloyal individual because I still have people in my life that I'm loyal to. I think when I think of that, it's like, okay, maybe I am disloyal if I look up and I have nobody in my life, but I still have kind of my core group of people, then I don't see myself as this disloyal individual. Mm.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you are who you know who you are.
Right.
And one fallout with one person is not an indication that you're a bad friend or something like that.
So, exactly.
Yeah. But also, if you are growing and changing for the better and the friendship is no longer working because you're simply in two different places in your life or your priorities are probably different, to me, is usually the biggest indication of outgrowing somebody. To me, that has nothing to do with loyalty. Because honestly, I feel like at that point, if you have outgrown someone because you've worked on yourself and you're becoming a better person, at that point, if the friendship requires you to be a lesser version of yourself, at that point, the decision is loyalty to that person or loyalty to yourself in this new, better version of you, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. It's not disloyal, but it's not disloyal because that, like, if maintaining the friendship requires you, yeah, being the version of, not the best version of yourself, then that's not the friendship for you.
Right.
I don't think a requirement of loyalty should have to be not being your best self.
Exactly.
And we've talked about this before in past friendship episodes, loyalty should not require you sacrificing your character.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I would say that.
Yeah. And a lot of times I feel like if you're loyal to everybody, then you're not even being loyal to yourself. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes that could be a give or take situation. So it's like, if I'm being so loyal to these people, it's like, are you truly being that to who yourself? Mm-hmm. So I always consider that as well.
Yeah. And a friend to everyone is a friend to no one. So
literally
there's that.
What relationships became stronger as you evolved and why? My mother. And I saw someone talk about it online. It's like as you get older, I think you become closer to your mother. Depending on whatever your relationship is, mm-hmm. I think because you start to understand life more, right? And I think the older I'm getting closer to my mom. Like looking back, I'm like, dang. Mm-hmm. I kind of was hard on her in certain areas where I'm like, she was just trying to get it, trying to make it, right? Mm-hmm. And I definitely value her the older I get because life is not easy. I don't know. I think, you know, the older I get, I don't take our relationship for granted, honestly. I don't. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, we're kids.
And I was going to say, I can see that with, I feel like my relationships with older family members in general, mm-hmm. now that I'm an adult, because I feel like it's on both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, you get older and you can appreciate that they were doing their best. But I feel like as you get older, they start to look at you as an adult.
Yeah.
And not, you know, and I think that also helps the relationships because, yeah, now you're two adults that have learned and grown. And I feel like sometimes in families, and I feel like a lot of times it's a Black family thing, but maybe in general too, it's like, I think sometimes, I don't want to say there can be like a lack of respect for children because they're children, right? But if you're wanting a child to be respectful and speak respectfully, you also have to speak respectfully to them. But I feel like a lot of parents or older family members, whatever, think they can say things or however they want because it's stay in a child's place.
Yes.
And I think that's part of the, but then when you are an adult at that point, I feel like that's a turning point because you're not a child anymore.
So, right. No, literally.
You know?
Especially, you know, when you're doing well for yourself, right? And you've accomplished the things in life that your parents wanted you to do. Mm-hmm. They're looking at you at the table and it's like, yeah, you kind of have to think about that response now, huh?
JK. Yeah. No, but, and, but also I think I'm not a parent, but I can imagine that there's some level of not their work here is done, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you're now an adult, you're out in the world, you have achieved things on your own, and there's always things to be learned, right? So there's, right. Your parents are always gonna have something to teach you, but yeah. I think it's more as you get older, like they're not parenting you as much as it's more like a, I don't want to call it a mentor, really. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, of course. Yeah. Like I honestly think my mom was my friend.
Yeah. It becomes more of a friendship where, you know, you're needing advice versus yeah. them parenting you to try and prevent you from making life altering mistakes.
No, literally.
If that makes sense. Yeah. So.
No, literally. No, definitely. And, you know, you start to understand why they made the decisions that they made for you at a young age as we're older and we're adults and we're navigating life. I'm like, maybe I am kind of glad you didn't let me do that or go there. You know what I mean? Yeah. It didn't make sense back then, but now I get it because some decisions that other kids make, I'm just like, whoa, you know?
No.
So, you know, you start to appreciate the things that your parents did for you regardless. No one's perfect, right? You get to do parenting once. There's no rule book to it. So I get more appreciative for those relationships for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's something that scares me about being a parent because the world is only worse than when we were growing up. The internet was still like new-ish. I feel like when we still had dial up. So like my mom would always make me watch How to Catch a Predator and did it. But like, I can't imagine raising a kid now in this world. Social media is way bigger of a deal. Like, we had, like, MySpace barely, and Facebook was, like, new.
Yeah.
But that AI, I can see why I was told no for a lot of things to protect me.
Exactly.
Now, and, yeah, now the world's even scarier and way worse. So,
yeah.
That would be something. I can see why parents don't sleep well at night. Exactly. I always send my mom those videos where it's like every time you wake up your parent and they always wake up in a panic. Have you, like, does your mom do that?
Yes.
Where it's like you tap them and they wake up like, yeah. It's like I guess I can get it now because it's, I guess being a parent, I can understand being in a constant state of worry. But it's like, literally. Jesus, I'm literally like not trying to scare you, but it's
literally.
Every time you wake them up and they must think you're dead, like.
No, literally, same. That's why certain hours I'll like won't text my mom after a certain time because I don't need her panicking, thinking something's wrong with me in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, girl, I'm just trying to send you this new news in the media. I don't know.
Literally.
Oh, yes. So to close out this series, the last question I have for you is, what does not coming back small look like in your daily life?
I think it means actually sticking with goals that I've set for myself, dreams, wishes, wants, and committing to them and not falling off of them. You know what I mean? Like the fact that we show up every week and do this and we're both on the same page about being consistent and till it gets to where we, you know, want it to be. And even, like, with my own content, it's like, yeah, not letting yourself down by not being consistent with your dreams, goals, ambitions. As you said last week, like, playing with your own potential.
You really can't play small when it comes to yourself, honestly. You have to dream big and think big because if you can't believe it, then you're just not going to be able to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely starts with you and believing in yourself regardless. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
don't play small.
Agreed. A mantra moment. The suburban Black girls can relate. You don't have to prove where you come from to belong. Your story is valid, your space is earned, and your voice matters, no matter the stereotypes. I like the you don't have to prove where you come from.
Right.
You know, because people love to revoke our Black cards as suburban Black girls.
Always.
So, and also just knowing that you belong in whatever room you're in, whether you're at work at your corporate job.
Yeah, no, I definitely love that. I love that. And honestly, I think the podcast is helping both of us just continue to be like, you ain't finna revoke this card.
Right. That is the end of our first of her kind series, 4 parts. Let us know what you think about the series. Also, let us know if you have any other topic ideas or series ideas. And be sure to follow us on all platforms. Follow us on Instagram, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.